Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's Palm Sunday, the day when we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Just as Zechariah predicted some 500 years earlier, the Messiah comes to his people riding on a young donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. The people gather palms, spread their palms and their robes on the road, and welcome the Messiah with shouts of Hosanna, which means save us. It's an amazing sight, an amazing fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. But this is just the beginning of Holy Week, the most important week in all of history. We know more about this week than any other week of our Lord's life here on earth. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John dedicate a huge portion of the Gospels, a full one-third of the Gospels, to the events of the week leading up to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me share with you four things that Holy Week is all about, the most important week in history. First of all, it was a week of traps. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. Matthew 22, verse 15. The Pharisees, Sadducees, and other teachers tried to lay traps for Jesus. Their goal was not just to embarrass Jesus, but to get him to say something that would either offend the Jewish people or something that would get him into trouble with the Romans. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were not friends. I mean, they were enemies. They hated each other. When it came to biblical interpretation, the Pharisees were ultra-conservatives. The Sadducees were ultra-liberal, just the opposite. They hated each other, but they hated Jesus more. So they teamed up together in order to try and trap Jesus in his words. The Pharisees took the first shot. They asked Jesus about the most controversial subject they could think of, paying taxes to Caesar. But their plan backfired when Jesus gave one of the most famous answers in history. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When the people heard this, they were amazed. Now the Sadducees took the second shot. They asked Jesus a ridiculous question about marriage and the resurrection. Now, Jesus knew that they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead or eternal life. Jesus told them that they did not know the scriptures or the power of God. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not God of the dead, but God of the living. The question completely backfires on the Sadducees. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at Jesus' teaching. Mark tells us that the large crowd listening to Jesus listened with delight at his teaching. The Pharisees tried again, first asking, which commandment is the most important? Jesus knew exactly what to answer. Of course, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus summed up brilliantly all of God's law into loving God and loving people. Then Jesus asked them a question, how can the Messiah, the son of David, also be David's Lord? They could not answer. And I love the next verse, Matthew 22, verse 46. No one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. They tried to trap Jesus, but Jesus completely turns the tables on them. Jesus' answers were so brilliant, so inspired, of course, that they no longer dared to ask him any more questions. What makes Holy Week so important? Well, it was a week of traps. Second of all, it was a week of teaching. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Matthew 22, verse 15. Holy Week for Jesus was a week full of teaching. Some of the longest passages of Jesus' teaching comes from Holy Week. Jesus warns people about the dangers of listening to the Pharisees and other teachers of the law and points out their hypocrisy. They love to focus on the smallest details of the ceremonial law while ignoring the moral commandments of God, such as the fourth commandment, honoring your father and mother. Jesus continues to preach using parables. Some of his most famous parables come from the single week of Jesus's life. For instance, the parable of the wedding banquet, the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, the parable of the tenants in the vineyard, in which Jesus warns the chief priests and the teachers of the law of what they are plotting to do. He warns them if they go through with murdering him, they will be murdering the very Son of God himself. Jesus also gives us a long discourse on the signs of the end times. Much of what we know about the second coming of Jesus comes from this section of scripture. Jesus reminds us that no one knows the day or the hour. We need to be ready at all times for his return. And the longest section of Jesus' teaching that we have in the Bible is the Upper Room Discourse, which takes place on Maundy Thursday, the night he was betrayed. It begins on John 13 and continues all the way to John 17. In that Upper Room Discourse, he teaches his disciples about love, peace, and joy. He commands them to love one another as he has loved them. He prays for them that they might have his peace, not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And he prays that they would have his joy in their hearts and that their joy may be full. He also shares with them about his Father's house in heaven. In my Father's house are many rooms. I go there to prepare a place for you. And they're so excited about what Jesus is teaching about heaven that they ask Jesus, "That sounds great, Lord, but how do we get there? How can we know the way?" And Jesus answers, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Jesus spent the week giving some of the most important teachings of all time. But of course, Holy Week is also about the Lord's great compassion and love for people. In the Upper Room on Maundy Thursday, Jesus doesn't just talk about love. He shows them what love looks like. At the supper, Jesus ties a towel to his waist, pours water into a basin, and begins washing the feet of his disciples. Now, this is Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One, their rabbi, their master, their teacher, their Lord. More than that, he is the Son of God in the flesh, King of kings and Lord of lords. Why in the world does he take the role of a servant? Well, the Bible tells us right from the beginning, he wanted to show his disciples the full extent of his love. He knew he would be going back to the Father, and he wanted to show them how much he loved them. I have given you an example that you should do the same as I have done to you. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Love always shows itself in serving other people. And that's what the love of Christ is all about. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus in the Upper Room not only teaches his disciples, he prays for his disciples. He prays that they may be strong and that they would not fall into temptation. He says, "I have said all these things to keep you from falling away." But for those who do fall away, Jesus will also be there for them with his compassion to forgive their sins and restore them. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he is betrayed there on Maundy Thursday evening, he does not respond with threats. He does not respond with anger. He does not respond with violence or with 12 legions of angels. He responds with compassion. When Peter cuts off the ear of Malchus, Jesus stops Peter and says, "No more of this. Put your sword back in its place. For those who live by the sword will die by the sword." And then in a stunning act of great compassion, Jesus heals Malchus, one of the men who came to arrest Jesus. His final act of healing on earth that we have recorded is the healing of one of his enemies. Jesus didn't just talk about loving his enemies, he lived it out. Even in the worst of situations, never was there compassion like his. Holy Week's an important week. It's a week of traps. It's a week of teaching. It's a week of compassion. And finally, number four, it's a week of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Holy Week was during the most important Jewish festival, the Feast of the Passover. Now, the Passover is all about blood. God in Exodus instructed Moses to slaughter a lamb without spot or blemish, and then take the blood and smear it on the wood of the doorposts. The blood of the lamb would rescue God's people from the angel of death, who would pass over them that night in Egypt. Every year they gathered, and every year more lambs are slaughtered to celebrate the Passover. Every year the blood would flow, because as Hebrews tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. All these sacrifices, every sacrifice of the Old Testament pointed towards Jesus. All those lambs are pointing towards Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus enters into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday that year happened to be Lamb Selection Day. the day the people chose which lamb would be slaughtered for the forgiveness of sins. And the lamb the people chose is Jesus himself, who would be slaughtered for the forgiveness of all of our sins. The forgiveness of sins for all people. His blood would pay the price for sin for you, for me, and for everyone. It is hard for us to picture what Jerusalem would look like during the Passover. Our thoughts of the temple and the city in Jesus' time is a picture of a place that is beautiful and pristine, but it wasn't that way. It was full of blood. We don't know how many lambs are slaughtered during a typical Passover, but the Jewish historian Josephus gives us an idea. He records that on one Passover, 250,000 lambs were slain, not just in the temple, but in the homes of every family in Jerusalem. Jerusalem during Passover week ran red with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, but the blood of bulls and goats and lambs could never take away sins. So Jesus comes to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and presents himself as the ultimate lamb, the perfect lamb, the greatest lamb of all. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.